Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
The theme tune to Day 5, which is Josh Flanagan, writer, director. You're in it as well, aren't you?
I'm in it,
from
yeah.
time to time. Day 5 is here. For those who don't, Catherine is here.
Word.
I'm here, barely. I'm here, but I'm barely here. Very, very high on cough medicine, which is a great way to be, guys. We talk about Day 5 from time to time. It's this brilliant, I'm going to say little, because it is kind of a culty show that started on Rooster Teeth. I keep wanting to call it Hen's Teeth, but Rooster Teeth TV. Mm-hmm. And someone put me onto it. I became obsessed with it. Sam, who answers the phones, is obsessed with it. And we've had Jesse C. Boyd, who's in it on a couple of times. Katie Folger we've had on as well. And lots of you have started watching it because it's on Pick.
It's on Pick, yeah.
Which is one of the Channel 5 offshoots. It's around about the 30s, I believe. I don't really watch telly anymore, so it's around about the 30s, maybe the 20s.
Find it. Google it, for God's sake.
Google it, for crying out loud. By the way, so Josh is here for an hour. You can hear him slurping away. Those are his filthy American habits. That's it. But you can call in about, and you can ask him anything, right? If you've never seen Day 5, you can ask him anything you want about anything. Because I'll be honest, we've had him in the office for 20 minutes. This guy won't shut up. That's what I'm getting.
Do you guys already know the ending? You know the ending to the whole show. So.
Well, no. You know the ending of Day 5.
Oh yeah.
And we're gonna get it out of you. Yes, buddy. That's what you're here for. Right. For those who don't know the premise of Day 5, and it's brilliant. What is it, Josh?
The premise is, so basically one night in the middle of the night. This is American time, yeah. By the way. sleep becomes lethal at like 3 a.m. So everyone who's asleep in that instant dies,
yep.
And anyone who falls asleep after that is going to die unless they can figure out what's going on and how to stop it. And so it follows, you know, sort of these like side and like misfits of society. I guess people who would be awake
well,
in the middle of the night.
Well, the star is like he's a meth head or
right.
something.
He's a meth head, yeah.
Jesse, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we wanted to find someone for that character especially where there was like their vice was weirdly the thing that saved them. Like
yeah.
It was the thing that pushed them away from their family and friends in yeah. real life. But then it's this weird thing that makes them one of the few survivors left in this kind of strange apocalypse. So.
And it's great. I'm a big fan of post-apocalyptic films. I love the genre. I think that maybe is how I stumbled across it. I was literally Googling post-apocalyptic things. You've seen the American movie with Steve Guttenberg. Is it not The Day After Tomorrow, because that's the one where it snows a lot. There's a film from the 80s.
Three Men and a Baby.
That's the one.
Yep.
Where him, Leonard Nimoy, and Ted Danson are involved in a nuclear attack.
Right.
That obliterates the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. We have a British version of that called Threads.
You're thinking of The Day After.
The Day After. That's what I'm thinking about. You've never seen that.
I have not. I've seen a lot of Gutenberg, but not that.
Mate, go and watch it. It's incredible.
Okay.
It's a serious... Have you seen the Gutenberg video where he's running around Central Park without any pants on?
No.
Oh, mate.
It's really him?
Yeah, or, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. It's
like
funny.
Your full Winnie the Pooh. Just the top.
So what else? What other? There was, I started watching a really bad show. Sam, come on the microphone. What was that show that I started watching and gave up after three episodes? And this is all we've got you here for, Josh, is to slag off.
No, it's good. I love
shows.
It.
The one about yep. the boat, where there was a boat.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Is it The Last Ship?
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's my new best friend.
Yep.
The Last Ship. You know, there's something happens and there's one ship left and...
yep.
Really wanted to like it, but then I just... Then it became a bit formulaic, like the A-Team. You know, it was like, okay, so this is what's going to happen
right.
every week.
Isn't there, I only watched a little of that show, but isn't there like, there's a virus and there's somebody who's immune and all this. It's just this, it always goes down the same track. Of like.
But what you do, what I love about your show, right, and I genuinely love your show. I think it's brilliant. I came in raving about it, much to Kath's chagrin. She was like, well, really, come on. But I love it. That it's kind of a new thing, you know, people dying because they're asleep. Sleep right. kills you. That's a great little twist on the whole zombie, you know, apocalyptic thing.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's really well written. And the seasons, sorry, guys, I'm speaking American. The series are only, the first one you were saying is 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. The second one is 8.
Is 8, yep.
That is great because, you know, I was a big fan of Lost. But you get like 18, 20 episodes in that. And they're padding those things out. When you've got 6 episodes to tell a series arc, mm-hmm. you've got no room to pad.
Yeah, it's got to be lean. You have to be efficient with the storytelling. You have to make the scenes matter. I mean, we face a lot of budget constraints. I mean, we're basically, I think every episode of Day 5 is about a tenth of the budget of a Walking Dead.
Wow.
So we have to be just really, really efficient with what we can show. And sometimes, you know, I think more times than not, that actually works out better than showing some big crazy scene. It's like showing the aftermath or showing, you know, right before it or drawing tension other ways.
The problem I have with The Walking Dead is that the main actor is English.
Yeah.
And he played a guy called Egg. Do you remember?
He
was in, what was it in This Life?
Mm-hmm.
He was Egg. So you can't watch that and see him as a tough American sheriff because he's Egg.
Because we've seen him screen up his love life.
Yeah, as Egg.
Being a bit rubbish.
CJ's on the line. CJ, I've got to warn you, Josh, is a sexual pervert. You might want to put your headphones on.
Okay.
But don't let them touch your ears because this guy's a deviant.
Okay.
and that's not even a joke. There you go. You see? That was one just popping out. Good evening, CJ.
Good evening. Day 5, can I just say, is absolutely fantastic. Right. Really, really, really enjoyed the show. It's really good.
Thank you.
And I mean, I've seen things like Walking Dead. I couldn't get into The Walking Dead. Same with The Last Ship. But Day 5, fantastic. The acting is great. The funny sides of it, the character development, it's brilliant. So
thank you so much.
Is that it? You just want to suck up to him?
Honestly, it's working.
CJ, I tell you, man, if you're after a part in it, I'm afraid there's 2 British parts up for grabs, and they're pretty much gone.
Taken.
They're pretty much gone.
Damn it. Damn it.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Do you make
it.
Love while you're watching it?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, your show's not as arousing. It's quite sexy.
It tries to be.
So how did you came up with the idea?
No, I wish I did. I'm not that smart.
You got the wrong guy.
You got the wrong guy.
So who came up with the idea? And I'm just emailing because I'm tweeting to see if someone can send me the theme. Someone did a version of the theme tune to Lost, but with words.
Okay.
That summarize the whole series. So I'm just tweeting while that's me typing, but go on.
Okay, so the original idea of sleep killing people was from one of the Rooster Teeth co-founders, Bernie Burns. And at the time,
Bernie Burns,
it was supposed to be like a budget smart apocalypse. It's like if everyone died in their sleep, then there wouldn't be overrun barricades. There wouldn't be ruined opulence of plants overtaking whatever. It's like they literally died yesterday. There's nothing.
Okay, so it'd be tidy.
Right. It'd be cheap in theory. But then you realize that like in the pilot episode, you have to show an empty city. And like that scene where there's kind of the big the aerial drone shot where it goes up and you see this empty highway, that's I-35 in Austin, Texas, and it's never empty. Wow. So all that CG, everything in that downtown, we had to remove all the people and all the cars and so we blew our budget
on that one shot.
Yeah, basically. So it turned out to be not quite as cheap as he thought, but the characters and the story of the show are from me and another co-creator, Chris Damaris. So yeah.
And what is Rooster Teeth? Because this is like an online channel.
Yes, it's hard to describe.
It is. I know. I'm fascinated by it.
They've been around for a little over 15 years.
Yeah.
And they started with a series called Red versus Blue.
Right.
Where they took Halo, like the video game, the first Halo on Xbox, and they would film it. It was this art form they called machinima. So they would film. They would play multiplayer, and they would use one of the players as the camera, and they would put 2 guys, and if they kind of tapped the remote, their head would kind of nod.
You've seen this, Sam. Have you seen it? He's nodding wildly.
Yeah. And so, and then they would go in and they would edit it and they would add voices.
Oh, mate.
And so it was, and no one had ever done that. So it kind of spawned this small thing. And this is pre-YouTube. So they upload this thing online and it goes viral back, you know, which was file sharing back then. And I think that month they got a bill from their provider for like $15,000. We're like, here's all the people that downloaded. Now you owe us all this money.
Wow.
And they're like, cool. So they blew up with that 15 years ago, and they've expanded that into, we still have an animated side, which has the first, and I think the only still, the first anime that's been imported into Japan instead of exported.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What was that?
It's called Ruby.
Yeah.
But it's spelled weird. It's like R-W-B-Y.
Of course, yeah.
And then, so we have a whole animated side. They have a new show coming out in January that has a pretty incredible voice cast. They have Michael B. Jordan.
Who's that? I know
he's
that
the
name.
Bad guy in Black Panther.
Of course he
Creed.
Is. Yes, yes.
So he's the lead, and they have Dakota Fanning. They got Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, so that's coming in January. So that's animation. They're big. And then they also do, we do a lot of podcasts. We do a lot of, they do a lot of Let's Plays, a lot of Let's Play kind of personality groups.
Yeah.
And then obviously they have live action, which
Let's
is where
Plays.
I work.
What's Let's Plays?
It's like where people play video games and do commentary over them.
Oh,
like,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So all of that
yeah.
mixed with personality driven stuff. So like the audience knows who we are, and I'm like one of the on screen personalities. Yeah. I'm low though. I'm like the Skeet Ulrich or something of like Rooster Teeth or the, you know, Tara Reid or whoever. And then on top of that, the Matt and Bernie or the founders did such a great job of cultivating a community around this company too. So it's not just like fans. It's like, I mean, we have a big expo every year in Austin. I think this summer we had like 60,000 attendants or something, and
they're
all Rooster Teeth fans. It's not like Comic Con where it's scattered. It's like some Star Wars, some Marvel, some whatever. It's like that community is just super tight.
So how did you get involved? Because I've been reading your wiki.
Yeah, I don't have one.
No, okay, but I just Googled. You served in Iraq.
I did.
And I was making light of that earlier on, but genuinely, you served. I don't want to make too much light of it because you'll put me in a chokehold. But you genuinely did. So how did you end up there?
Okay.
And then make the move into television? What was that kind of journey?
So I graduated high school in 2002, and two things happened my senior year. One, I got a camcorder for Christmas, which I was poor growing up. So I finally got a camera. I shot a movie in camera that night, edited in camera.
That night. I love it.
It was about a Curious George doll bludgeoning my brother to death with a golf club.
That's a beautiful image.
It is. It's great.
One night. He's already been thinking about it for years.
Yeah. You've got girls, Catherine. This is what boys, when you give them recording. Oh, my boys would have done that.
My girls would do something similar.
Oh, really? Okay.
A bit more psychological, maybe. But yeah.
I had two younger brothers, so one of them was the victim, and the other one puppeted George. So I did that night. So that year, I realized I want to make films. Before that, I was thinking about doing video games, and that year, I was like, no, it should be films. And then the other thing that happened was September 11th. So that happened fall of my senior year. And before that, I'd never even thought about the military, never even crossed my mind. I don't come from a military family, none of that stuff. And then that happened, and I'd always sort of had this romantic idea of soldiers and service to country. And I felt, honestly, like I didn't feel good that other people would be going in my place to fight. I was like, if people are going to go, I should go too. This is, you know, we all felt attacked, and it was a very like intense time.
It's I mean, where are we? We're 17 years. We just had the 17th anniversary, which is a weird thing to say, but the vibe of the world changed. You can't, you know, you don't get across in we had lots of news programs and TV programs about it, as we do every year. The impact that it had on the world, and we weren't even in the States, but just it was incredible, wasn't
really
it?
A really good friend of mine did the same thing. He said, what am I doing sitting here? This stuff needs to be done.
Everyone
I'm going to go and
do it. Questioning their worth, their place in the world. How could they make the world a better place?
Yeah.
And it took you into the military.
Yeah. So I signed up in February that year, and I took all the tests and I'm good at tests, like good at multiple choice. And so I did well. And they're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to be front line. So I signed up for the thing that actually had the lowest score requirement of all, which is infantry, because I wanted to be out there. And then so I graduated in May. I was in basic by July. And then I was in Iraq the next April when I was 19 years old. I was in Iraq as a dismount machine gunner.
A baby. I don't mean that in a patronizing way.
No.
You know, a baby.
Yeah.
How long were you out there for?
I was there for a full year.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was like it was initial invasion, like it was like Wild West. It was my unit that caught Saddam Hussein, weirdly. I was on the raid, but I wasn't, like, in his little hole. I was, like, about a half mile away raiding other stuff looking for him. So I have a coin. They gave out commemorative coins.
You were part of the team that caught Saddam.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Really?
Yeah.
How do you look back on... Thank you for your service, man, genuinely. How do you look back on that? Now, does that seem a lifetime ago?
Yes. I mean, in some ways it does, and in some ways it feels like yesterday. It just depends, and, you know, it's one of those weird things, you know, because I have PTSD from it. I'm actually considered 80% disabled from the military.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, you get, like, fun nightmares and fun stuff like that, and it's... So it's... And some of that stuff is obviously always with you. But then... Yeah, it's very different. I had a hard time transitioning from that to college.
I wonder if, and maybe I'm drawing too many connections here, if that has any impact on your work that you do now, the kind of darkness that that comes with PTSD, that comes with being in a, you know, in a war zone, whether that is somehow connected to the weird stuff that you do now.
No, I definitely think it does. And I think, you know, the caller mentioned the humor in it. And to me, that's one of the most, for one, something that's missing from a lot of apocalypse shows, which is frustrating because they take themselves really seriously. And you're like, okay. But in combat, you know, when things are that crazy and that extreme and you're seeing such insane stuff that just does, it's like hard to process. Most of the time, people process that through humor, like on the battlefield. Mm. I mean, it'll be, you know, you'll be getting shot at, bullets are ricocheting off walls around you, and the guy next to you will crack the most morbid joke, and you're like, dude, we're about to get, like, shot to pieces, and like, but you laugh because it's just,
to,
it's so insane.
You have to. It's the same with doctors. My father-in-law is a doctor, and he tells me about the, you know, the when you're dealing with people who are dying and are dead, you've got to laugh.
It's a release valve, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so you came back.
Came back.
Then what happened? We'll take a break in a second. We've got Alan Caddick lined up, which I know you're going to enjoy. But go on. So then what happened?
Got back, and then I served my 3 years, and then went to University of Texas at Austin. And that was an interesting transition, just coming back to civilian life and coming to, you know, having just come to war and had friends that were killed and having shot people myself, and it was just a really... Just a heavy experience.
Then coming back into, in inverted commas, normal, everyday life.
Right. And, I had the 3 year age difference. I was coming in with 18 year olds who, you know, were complaining about having to do laundry for the first time. And it was just like, man, I just, luckily, I found a good group of friends.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately how I got to Rooster Teeth. It's quite a gap of time between then and there where I worked on my own. I was in the industry independently for a couple of years. And then my friend Chris Damaris, who's, again, a co-creator on Day 5 as well, and a writer and director on some of the episodes, he just kept pestering me. He's been there about 8 or 9 years and just kept saying, you need to send stuff in. They're looking for people. And then I finally did it right around the time they were doing their first movie, Laser Team. Mm. And so I'd just come off writing a Western, and I submitted my stuff, and they were like, cool, yeah, let's do it.
0344. Turn your phone off, Josh!
I don't have a phone.
Oh.
You know I lost it.
Oh, yeah, you did. Well, that may have been me. Sorry, guys.
Turn your phone off, Ian.
Sorry, guys. That was... well done. You passed the first test. 0344-499-1000. By the way, Josh is here for the first hour. You don't have to call in about day five or you know, anything. You can just phone in and do your usual nonsense, which I suspect is what Alan Caddick has done. Good evening, Alan.
Hey, Mark.
Hello, Alan.
How are you, mate?
Me?
I know it's been a tough weekend.
It's Wednesday, mate.
It's Wednesday.
I haven't been to Monday or Tuesday.
No, because of Chaz.
Yeah.
One of Britain's most loved singers.
Okay.
And also the father-in-law of a good friend of mine, a guy called Chaz from the band Chaz and Dave. The most English band you could ever see. Two
iconic
old men with beards, braces, and playing the piano and
black
singing.
Black caps.
Good chap. well, anyway, Chaz passed away at the weekend, which is really, really sad. He's kind of a British legend, and Alan very sensitively broke the news to me. Luckily, I'd heard before; otherwise, it would have been a blow to the guts. I'm all right, thank you, Alan. We had my friend Paul Garner on the other night talking about Chaz, so that was lovely.
That's good. I thought you'd have played Snooker Loopy at the start of the show.
Nah. Have you seen Day 5?
No, I haven't. This is new to me.
Well, you've not been listening that intently then, because we go on about it all the flipping time.
I've you've got the creator of Day 5 on the show.
Well, it turns out he's not the creator. It turns out we booked the wrong guy. But he's very, very closely connected to it, yes.
I am credited as a creator of the series, just not the idea. So I am a creator.
Okay, okay. Yes. You're going back up in my favour, young Josh. Yes, Alan, we do.
I've got a question for him.
Have you got a question for him about a show you've never seen before? This is going to be great.
I'm ready.
Are you pro-Trump or anti-Trump?
Ooh. Pro-Trump or anti-Trump. We've gone straight. It's 22 minutes past 10. We've gone straight for that. Wow. This could, everything hangs on this, Josh.
I am anti-Trump. It's true.
You left-wing liberal media types. Shame on you. He's your president. You back him.
He's fine.
He's fine. It is, well, Alan, here's the thing. We've never discussed this with you. Are you pro or anti-Trump?
I reckon you're pro.
Well, have you heard me let one go?
Oh, now, come on.
I don't know if you have that. In England, Trump also means fart. And
That makes sense.
That's outrageous.
Alan and my kids love that joke.
let's have a little break. Brad, we'll come to you in a second. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Jamie East. Now, as well as being on Talk Radio every afternoon between 1 and 4pm, I've just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Talk Film. We've got interviews with the big stars like Martin Freeman, Tandy Newton, Josh Brolin, loads of them. And also all of the reviews of the week's big releases. There's a new episode every Thursday, available through Apple Podcasts and your favourite podcast app. Just search for Talk Film and give it a whirl. If you like it, please hit that subscribe button.
After hours amusement for anarchists, air hostesses and jet-lagged Antipodeans.
G'day, Cobbers. Can I crash on your floor?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I wish someone would send me the... Someone did a Lost theme tune and it was done like a kind of 1980s theme tune with... Well, they fell on the island and they all got lost. They're chased by a giant smoke monster. It was that kind of vibe. And I can't find it. And you listeners are awful. Catherine Boyle is here, joined by Josh Flanagan, who is from working at Rooster Teeth, mm-hmm. which is a cool thing. No, Sam, why didn't you tell me about this Halo Wars series, which I'm totally, totally having after the show?
I'm pretty sure I told you about the film. But Laser Team before?
No, you didn't.
No,
no.
Well, you just weren't listening.
You never listened.
Unbelievable cheek. He's a kid. Let's take a call because Brad might have something to say. Good evening, Brad.
Hello.
Hello, Brad. What have you got for us?
All right. Wait. Firstly, how can you mention the upcoming star-studded cast of Genlock and not mention David Tennant?
You're right. David Tennant is also on Genlock. I'm sorry. Wow. I forgot where I was.
Wow. Kicking off is very tense.
Yes.
Massive Britain, you didn't leave him off the list. Secondly, also, so great that you're bringing like some of the, because I've been a Rooster Teeth fan for years.
Oh, awesome.
Great that you're bringing some of the stuff to British TV. Is there a plan in work to keep doing that in the future? Because I know you've got Arizona Circle, an mm-hmm. upcoming sketch show. And a few other like big production shows.
So day five is on Pick.
It is. Yep.
Is that the first time Rooster Teeth have had a show on British TV?
Yes.
Wow.
I think the first time we've ever had a show on any broadcast.
Wow.
TV. Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it trailed. You know, we've seen it on trailed a few times, and have had people since Jesse came on.
Yeah.
I think he was drunk. Jesse came on. People who said I'd never seen this before, but I love it. Is any more stuff going to come over here?
I hope so. I mean, I can't think of anything that's currently being negotiated. I mean, yeah. even day five, only has the first season over here right now. We've made two seasons. So hopefully season one does good enough where they bring season two. Arizona Circle is a sketch show we just released last week on Rooster Teeth.
Okay.
It's like a half hour, like sketch comedy show, sort of a mashup of like, some British influence, cause we're big Monty Python fans. And some like Kids in the Hall, and
we love Kids in the Hall. Yep. Oh man, everything turns around, comes around to Kids in the Hall. We had a few weeks ago, we had Stephen Pagin, who used to be in Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah,
and he brought his new little band with him. And there's a guy called Kevin Fox on the cello, and there's a guy called Craig Northey on guitar. And we're kind of chatting. They're all from Canada, and it turns out that Craig is the musical advisor and has been for like the last 15 years for the Kids in the Hall.
Ooh.
And there's talk of them doing a show for Netflix, and that gets me horny.
Yeah.
So anything, sorry, my ears pricked up. So anything that's that cites Kids in the Hall or Mr. Show or something like that as a an influence, I'm in.
I'll send it to you. You can.
Oh, please
you can,
do,
yeah,
man.
You can weigh in.
Did you ever watch Mr. Show with David Cross and Bob?
I did.
Ogre?
Yeah, and then I watched the when they rebooted on Netflix too.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
Reboots on Netflix. Yeah, they're all right. But today I was watching The Post, the Meryl Streep,
the Spielberg
movie, Tom Hanks film, right? And there's a bit, and I'm going, I recognise that voice, and it's David Cross.
Yep.
And then he goes into a room, and he stood next to Bob Odenkirk. And suddenly, who are the stars of this very funny, rude sketch show, Mr. Show. And suddenly I can't watch this scene, because it now looks like they're doing one of their spoofs.
Right.
Of a very serious thing, and somehow they've managed to persuade Tom Hanks to appear in this sketch with them. I couldn't watch it. It's ridiculous. Brad, what do you kind of watch lots of stuff on Rooster Teeth then?
I do, yeah. I've done for years. I think it's an easy way of, because Rooster Teeth, as you said, it's a community. Like, everyone there, like, they care about the fans and they make stuff for the fans, which I think is the difference between mainstream television where they make stuff to make money. I mean, essentially they do that because it's a business, but things are designed for their audience because they have their audience already. So I think that's why I like.
How did you find it? Because I stumbled across it by accident or someone recommended, but I hadn't heard of it. So how did you find out about it so long ago?
I think most of the ways out, it was just a viral video, just one video that ends up on YouTube that gets spread around your friends, and then 10 years later, they're still making stuff. So.
Okay. All right. Hey, nice one, Brad. Listen, thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, thanks
Cheers.
A lot.
Ta-ta. What a nice guy. I bet you have nice fans.
I do.
I bet it attracts nice, thoughtful, intelligent people.
Mostly.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes. Wait, but where is this going somewhere?
No, it's going nowhere. Okay. That's it. No, honestly, there's no catch. Because quite often sci-fi, because it's niche, and it could be described by some people, Rooster Teeth and Day 5, could be described by some people, and this isn't an insult, as kind of nerdy or geeky.
It's very geeky.
I'm a geek, and I'm proud of that. And geeks and nerds tend to be nice, grateful, that's the word I'm looking for, grateful people that someone is investing so much time and effort into creating a show for them. You know, Day 5's never going to get 20 million viewers on a Saturday night, but the hardcore fans that have discovered it and love it are grateful that it exists.
I mean, there is such thing as the angry geek. I mean, look what happened with Ghostbusters before anyone had even seen it.
Oh, yeah.
And Star Wars, people get crazy about it.
Well, Star Wars sucks. That's why they get angry about it, because it's just a waste of time.
That's a fair point.
Star Wars is a waste of... No, you're right. There is the whole Gamergate thing, and there is a kind of a dark side of geekdom. But, you know, my people is good people. Now, Day 5... Mm-hmm. You've done two seasons. You're saying, fingers crossed, if the checks get signed, season three starts early next year.
Yes.
How many seasons are there going to be? Is it going to... And I know the answer to this. We chatted about this, but I want the listeners to know.
Okay.
Is it going to be one of those things where it goes on and on and on, and then the TV network says, right, this is your last series, and so you've got to wrap everything up, or have you got an arc?
I do have an arc. It's at least four seasons.
Yeah.
And one of the things, like, we know the end game. And I assured you earlier.
So you know the point you're working to.
Yes, I know what the end is. And
this
it's
is great.
It's not a Battlestar Galactica. It's not a Lost. I think it will be very satisfying when we get there. But we do have a little bit of leeway in terms of some of the more seasonal arcs that we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, like a good example, which is not on TV here yet, but season two has an arc about the Sandman's Oasis and this place where sleep is sort of a commodity and people figured something out. And that wasn't something when we sat out. They're like kind of laid out the series. We weren't, or the what do you call, is that right? Series. Yes. The program. When we laid out the program and looked at the number of series, How's that? We weren't like, this is what series two is.
Right.
It's definitely this. But it was an idea where like, where there's some pieces of the broad story we want to tell, and we think this would be an interesting thing. So it could be four seasons, it could be five. I think if it goes beyond that, it's probably going to be stretched then. And if it goes, the hope is that they won't say season three is that last season, because then I do think it's going to feel a little rushed. But
okay, well, here's the question then. How does it end?
Good.
Well, that's not bad, because I remember when I went to Hawaii for the last season of Lost, and I interviewed Ben Linus, I can't remember his name, and I said to him, how's it end? He said, well, you might be disappointed with the ending.
Oh,
and as
wow.
soon as he said wow. that, I was like, oh, they haven't got an ending. Well, they haven't got an ending.
Do you know what's weird about that is to be fair, I did not watch Lost all the way through. I had my roommates at the time, this was like maybe 2006, we're watching it, roommates in college, and I would catch episodes. I'm like, this is interesting. Like, minute to minute, I'm very entertained. There's a polar bear. I don't know why. And I literally said, if this all makes sense when it's over, tell me, and I will start it. Because they were already four seasons in. And I think I saw, like, the season four finale where it turned out there were flash forwards now, thought, that's a great device.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they told me, no, it didn't make sense. But I do remember the press announcement. I think it was when they started doing season five. Oh, who's the guy?
Jack?
No, who's the writer? Damon Lindelof?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, this is only four seasons in, series in, and he goes, we know the exact story we want to tell, and it's seven. It's seven series, seven seasons. And so at that point, I thought, wow, they've really gotten, they must know. They know they're three seasons out from that. They must know exactly it, and then it turns out not
they
really.
They fudged it. They didn't answer. This is the thing that gets me, dear Lost fans. Who the hell was firing at them when they were on those canoes? They never answered that. They kept jumping through time. And at one point, do you watch this? They were jumping through time. And at one point, they're on a canoe and someone was shooting them and they never explained it.
I'm so glad I bailed after season two. I was like, not after season
two. It moved to Sky. And so everyone then went to Torrance to watch it illegally.
That, once they started the time traveling, that's when I dropped out. I was like, this is too.
No, yeah. Sir. That's when you start to get more interested.
Really?
Oh, time travel is where it's at.
Okay.
I got an idea for a time travel series that I think would be great for
me. I like time travel in general. Yeah. I just felt like at that point in the Lost plot line, it felt like one piece too many.
Okay. I know what you mean. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the time travel. We've got Dave is on the line for you. We're getting lots of new callers and people haven't called for ages. Good evening, Dave. You're through to Josh.
Hello, Ian. Hi, Josh. Hi, Kerr.
Hello.
Hi.
Josh, I'm a big fan of Day 5. I'm loving the way that the cast engage with all the fans on Twitter and things like that. I think that's great. But I was just wondering, what's the weirdest fan theory you've heard so far about what's going on?
Do you get a lot of that fan theories?
Ooh.
I bet there's fan fiction about Jesse Seaborn.
Oh, man. They call it shipping. The kids call it shipping. When you put two characters together in
like a
sexy story. Oy. Yeah. So there's a lot of shipping going on.
Fantastic.
And I don't know if I get weird fan theories from people, but one of the things we do in the writer's room, which is really fun, is for season two. I guess season two is the only season we did it. We kind of had an open, we hired three new writers and we did an open forum and we said, what do you think is happening? Like, what do you think is going on?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And we have the big pieces of that already, but for season two, there was a big piece of that narrative that I won't spoil here, but like there's one of the writers like, well, it's this. I think this seems like this. And we're like, yes, it is.
How did you get Jesse Boyd? Because I think we talked about this out there, but how did you find him? Because he's brilliant. That guy should be a star.
Yeah, no, he should be. And he was on, what was he on? The Mindhunter show. He had a guest role in that for two episodes.
Okay.
And so I think he's starting to break
he's
out
bubbling
finally.
Under.
Yeah.
Good, good.
But through normal casting, you know, we did our casting calls and then we did our rounds and we cast Walker Satterwhite, who plays Sam, the kid on the show. We cast him first and then it got down to, I think, three or four people in LA. And we're in Austin, so we're kind of doing a lot of this stuff remotely. And we did a chemistry read between him and Walker, and they were just so great together. And so that was kind of the final trigger pull.
Walker's great. He's got to be like 6'4" now.
He's very tall.
Big beard. He's like a cute kid in the first episode, season two. He's like, okay. He's talking a bit like this.
He's
great.
We pitched his voice up for the first two episodes of season two.
Did you really?
Yeah, to try and smooth it.
Oh, wow. Isn't that clever?
It's harder on a program like ours where there is not a lot of time passage narratively.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like on Game of Thrones, you can come back and say, Bran looks like he's 80 now, and it's fine because who knows? The passage of time is ambiguous.
But this is like a couple of days.
It's literally each season is like one day.
Yeah.
Season one is one day. Season two is one day. So it's like when you come back from that and they look notably different, it starts to create some problems.
He's a great actor, though.
Yeah.
I was flirting with his mum when he came on the
show. His mum's cute. Oh, you should see his aunt. Aunt Shannon. I hope you...
Please don't encourage him. I mean,
now listen.
He basically fancies everyone that you've employed.
Nice.
I do. Honestly, thank you, Dave. Now listen. This is. Let's get down to the serious shiz.
Okay.
Let's get down to this.
Ready.
I trained for 3 years in performing arts at Middlesex University. I've got a 2-1.
I saw that.
That's
on
a degree.
Yeah, on your Wikipedia.
You.
Yep.
Catherine has got a great body.
Right.
You should put.
Wow.
I thought it was Aunt Shannon at first, to be honest.
No, Catherine is a talented performer. She does an amazing Cher.
Yeah.
And a Cilla Black. I don't know if you know who Cilla Black is.
Cher is more for the American market, obviously.
Okay.
We really want you.
Yeah.
You really need us.
Right.
To be in season 3 of Day 5. You need this because okay, it's on Pick TV over here. Who the hell sees what even is that? If we were on this, and now I've been in the jungle, I'm a big star. Your British audience is just going to go straight up there.
Yeah.
So
do you want me to commit right now to having you in? Do you want me to say you will be in season 3 on the air?
Yeah, that's a legal contract.
Well, obviously you will be in season 3.
Yes, man! Come on, boil it! Yes!
I didn't think he'd go for it.
Okay, well, that was Josh Flanagan. Josh, thanks so much for coming in. Oh, 3...
All I had to do was buy him biscuits.
We were kind of thinking, and we talked about this the other day, and I'm not putting you on the spot now, but that is a contract, and that clip that, please. Please clip that, Sam, and send it to my lawyer. But we were kind of thinking, we did the show from New York last year for a week. We paid for it, and we went to New York, and we met people, and we hung out. We're kind of thinking of coming out to your set for a week.
Do it.
And doing the show from your set. And obviously, so you film it in LA or Austin?
In Austin.
Okay. So we did the whole...
You're like, never mind.
No, I've not been to the home of country music, apart from Nashville.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah,
the second... The holiday home of country music.
Yes.
But we were kind of thinking, we couldn't really afford it this year because of divorce and buying houses and things. But we were thinking next year, let's go out to America again. Let's tie it in with something. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Austin.
Okay.
And let's go.
We talk like that.
Sorry?
That's how they talk out there.
Sure is. Listen to me.
That's not how they talk.
It is. Go on. You talk like a cowboy then.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot your head off if you don't get off my horse.
I do declare.
Now, you know, you're like, she's like a Southern Belle.
Right. That's like, Southern. I would say Texas has more what we would call a twang.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which you were closer to.
We can learn.
Okay. Who was closest, though, Josh? And this is a genuine question. Who was closest?
Neither.
It's my show.
I guess you.
Thank you so much indeed. I like this guy. But we were kind of thinking, and we'll talk about it. If you don't want to do it, it's cool, because we wouldn't put you on the spot.
No, you should do
it. Coming out to Austin, doing the show from Austin, and then every day, just getting a little interview with one of the cast, getting a little bit of on set, this is what's happening kind of thing. Would you guys be up for that?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Let's do that then.
Josh hates you right now. He's like, God, can't get out of here fast enough.
Josh is
what the hell is this?
Josh is gonna get what he's gonna get. I don't know what that means.
You guys should totally come. You absolutely should. We will figure that out. If you guys really want to do we will make it
this
work.
This is on our dollar. You're not paying for it. Don't worry.
Wow, don't say it like that.
Well, I just got a vibe off him. Did you not get a vibe off of him?
Taking the generosity out of him. Man.
I think. I tell you what. Do you know what? Forget it. Stick your stupid sleep show up your ass. Or as we say, arse. I'm not interested. I'm not going to America.
I'm
going to
go.
0-344-499-1000. Have a think about if there's anything you want to plug, Josh, because when we come back, we're going to plug the hell out of it.
Okay.
Dead of Night Discourse for Disco Queens.
I'm related to Jedward and Dolly Parton.
Dairy Farmers.
Aye, aye.
And Distant Fathers.
Yeah, whatever.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Doing lots of things that we don't know about, we can't control.
On Talk Radio.
Yes, great.
Right, I think Dave has sent me the lost theme with words. So let's have a listen. Here we go. That's quite good, isn't it? That is good. That is funny. Right, so Josh.
Did he rhyme where they are with danger?
I think he might have done. But that's what a lot of 80s TV was. It's that they were, in case you missed it, you got the story. It's like Knight Rider. It doesn't have lyrics, but this is a story of a man. You know, there's that guy, that spoken word bit over the top.
Well, and of course, then the French A-Team. They sang, didn't they?
Oh, God.
Have you heard that one?
You heard the French A-Team?
There's a French A-Team?
Oh, my God.
No. It's the A-Team.
What are they called? What are they called?
This is how it was shown in France.
Accusés d'un vol qu'ils n'ont pas commis, n'ayant aucun moyen d'en faire la preuve, ils fuient sans cesse devant leurs poursuivants. Pour subsister, ils emploient leurs compétences. Quand la loi ne peut plus rien pour vous, il vous reste un recours, un seul, l'agence Tourisque.
L'agent
touriste. L'agent touriste. You speak French.
Cat does.
L'agence touriste.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean the A-team. It doesn't mean the A-team.
The all-risk agency.
The all-risk agency.
I love it. Nigel and Dion, stay there, we'll come to you. So, Josh, what do you want to plug? Where do people go if they want to find out more about Day 5, more about you as a man, as a human, as a lover, more about Rooster Teeth? Where are we sending these losers?
You can find... I'm on social media as Josh the Flanagan. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. It's weird. You joke about learning about my sex times, but there is one of my highest viewed videos through Rooster Teeth on YouTube is an animated short where I tell the story of this threesome. That's just like, it's crazy, but in like a funny way. It's not like weird.
Followed.
It is weird, but it's like, it's good. Yeah. Google that.
Was the threesome disappointing?
No, the actual threesome was great, but then, someone, should I tell you the story? Do you know the story?
I don't know the story. You can tell us the story.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'll try.
Look and see if Mum's over there.
No,
or
just seeing how much time we've got. So I want to hear everything.
It's a short story. Okay. So I was dating a girl who was bi, and she was like, we'd bat around the idea of having a threesome. Mm. I never pushed it or anything, but a friend of hers came into town, and she was like, hey, this girl that I hooked up with before is back in town, and I think she would be interested. Would you still be interested in trying this? And I was like, well, if you insist. So we made a night of it. Like, we went out to dinner before. We got a hotel room. Actually had a free hotel room.
Yeah, you're not an animal. You took her out to eat something
first.
It was
very nice, yeah. I met her before. Like a week before. And so we went and got a hotel room and did our thing that night. And it was fun. And the next morning, so there's two girls. Like, the extra girl and then, like, girl prime. And
prime.
So the
funny name.
The extra girl leaves. She has to go to work, and so I get up to go to the bathroom, and I go in the bathroom of the hotel room, and in the middle of the night, apparently someone had climbed into and defecated in the tub. Yeah,
it's less romantic.
It was. So here's the thing. So I mean, I was kind of drunk, but I was like, I don't think I would have done this.
No.
Like, they were like, it was crazy. And so I went to, I woke the other girl up.
There was
up.
Nothing written in it.
There's
was
nothing
there?
Written.
Okay. Because that would have been a clue.
No. So I wake up Girl Prime and I'm like, you should see this. Like, is this you? Like, so we like looked at, because we were, you know, dating. And she was like, I don't think this was me. And so
I love it. I don't think it was me.
It's like, I feel like I would have remembered this. And so it started as this thing of like communist paranoia, where it's like, was it the other, you know, like, are they lying? Are they trying to cover? Or like, was it me? Was I so dry? It was like the thing or something, you know, like who was it? And we finally figured it out. And this is how we found a handprint.
Oh, God.
On the second girl's pillow.
Oh, jeez, Josh. This is incredible.
And she did. Here's the thing. And we did not move our sleeping position. So it was like Girl Prime, me, other girl. So she was the only one to be near that pillow. And we even put our hand up to it like Cinderella. We're like, does it fit you? But you really, in that moment, you really feel like Sherlock. You're like, oh my God, I've solved the mystery of this. Of the bathtub.
Who did a shit in the bath?
Right.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's less hot than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
it's not hot, but it's funny.
Did you get her back for another session?
No.
Okay.
No. She claimed, she feigned ignorance later. She was like, oh, I saw that. Yeah, I thought maybe it was one of y'all. And it's like, yeah. Let me see your hand.
One of y'all.
Yeah.
Let me see your hand. Well, yeah, your DNA tests are very cheap to do these days if that ever happens.
Yes.
Again. I always imagine the threesome would be disappointing. But not in that way. I thought it would be a different kind of disappointment.
No, the actual threesome was great. Like it was a very good time. Yes,
up until then.
But even then, I felt like that little piece. It's like this is probably what happens to like rock stars, right? This probably happens a lot. So I was like, cool. I'm just trying to make it sound good. I don't know.
and that came from us because you were telling us how to follow you on
yes,
social media.
That's a how's that tangent?
Unfollow.
So. You want more stories like that? I'm at Josh, yeah, at Josh Flanagan on Twitter and Instagram. But if you want to see more Day 5 stuff, you can go to roosterteeth.com. Season 1's airing right now on Pick here.
It's so good, man. It's so good.
It's Tuesdays at 10. The finale of Season 1 is actually next week. But Season 2 is already out and on roosterteeth.com. So if you want to jump ahead, if you've been watching Season 1, you want to just see Season 2, yeah. Which is done, you can go to roosterteeth.com and do it.
What else? So what else are you working on? Have you got any projects on the go at the moment?
So we just released on roosterteeth.com our sketch series, yep. Arizona Circle, which is, we talked about, kind of a mashup of a bunch of stuff we love.
Yeah.
Kids in the Hall and Mr. Show. It has kind of a transition device very similar to Mr.
Who's
Show.
In it? Is it an already existing comedy team, or is it a group of people that you all put together?
No, it is. It's an existing comedy team that works at Rooster Teeth. There's two, actually. It's a crossover. Okay. So one is Funhouse. They're in L.A. And then the other one is Rooster Teeth Live Action, which I'm one of. So I'm star in the show, too.
Okay. All right.
And then I think we have one. I think he's British. I'm going to mess up his name. Raul Coley. He's on iZombie, but he's friends with Funhouse. And he did a bit in our show okay. That's, I think, pretty fun. No, so that just came out last week.
Brilliant.
So if you like sketch comedy, it's out now.
And you were saying that, was it last night you were making horror films with your was it niece and nephew? Or
yes,
two nephews.
Niece and nephew.
Niece
yeah.
and nephew. This mm-hmm. is what a cool uncle, right? So he goes and visits his niece and nephew, and then you just go and buy costumes and make movies with them.
Yes, we're teaching them low budget filmmaking. So we made a short. I made them storyboard it. I was like, you need to draw what you see. And so we drew it out, and we went to get some, and we did like all the props lo-fi. So he's going to be Spider-Man. Okay, let's go get some silly string you can use. And I taught them how to, like, if you angle it toward camera, it looks like it's coming out of your hand.
Yeah.
And they both like just chewed scenery left and right too. Like once they got the roles, like my niece Kaylee, she was the Joker. And so she painted her own face.
Beautiful.
And it was great. It was like a legal problem because she's the Joker and he's Spider-Man, and those are, you know, DC and Marvel. But other than that, it was great.
Those DC films are so dry, aren't they?
Yes.
I did Suicide Squad today because it was on Amazon Prime, and everyone said that one's okay. No, it's not.
It's arguably the worst, I think.
Yeah,
I
felt
bad.
Sorry for Will Smith because yep. I like Will Smith. I think he's good, and he lightens everything. Doesn't lighten this. He's dragged down by the tedium within that movie.
Well, you can tell that's a movie by committee, too, because yep. halfway through it, you have no idea what's going on. You're
no.
like, oh, this is like rewrites from hell, basically.
You don't know what's going on, and two of the superheroes, the Aussie guy with the boomerang and mm-hmm. the crocodile guy,
yep.
they don't do anything.
No.
It's Harley Quinn... And Will Smith, that's it. It's their movie. And the
yeah.
others are kind of just there hanging out. I thought it was a terrible movie.
Yep.
Didn't get through Batman. Because I want to like them. Because I like superhero movies. And my kids love The Flash. The Flash is their favorite superhero.
Yeah.
But the movies just suck.
Yeah. My mom is a huge fan of the movie. But I think it's just because of Justice League specifically.
Right.
I think it's because of Jason Momoa. She just has
right.
a huge crush on him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Disappointing. Movies? You're gonna move into movies? There's no chance of a Day 5 movie or anything, is there?
It's something we've talked about in terms of possibly wrapping the series if for whatever reason like future seasons don't work out. I mean, I think it'd be fun to do a movie just standalone of that similar premise. Well, the movie. What's his name? I forgot his name already.
Out there?
Yes.
Sam.
Is his name? Is it Sam?
Yeah.
It's probably Sam.
Yeah.
The movie Sam mentioned, Laser Team, I was a writer and editor on that.
Right.
It's okay. But I'm hoping to do some more movies. I have a stack of scripts. I just have to figure out how to get them made.
Movies are tougher than TV because that's money. That is money. Although saying that, I told you last week I met Tommy Wiseau and...
Yeah.
Man, that was an experience.
Yeah, I got bumped. You're like, you come in, never mind.
Yeah.
Tommy was so, and
yeah.
I'm like, cool, man.
Yeah, totally. Their new film looks great.
Uh-huh.
It's too long. It's too long.
What's it? It's called like Frenemies or something.
Best friends. Part one. Part two's coming out next year.
But isn't the R in like parentheses? Yeah. So it could be
Best Fiends.
Yeah.
And it looks great, and it's lovely seeing those two back together. That's what. Right. That's what it is. Is what you want to see.
Yeah.
But there's loads of like montages where there's no dialogue. You think, come on, man, we want to hear Tommy say something. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to hear Tommy say something. That's what we're there for. Right, Josh. Lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Off to Normandy.
Yep.
Just to kick some ass.
Pretty much, yeah, just relive any war I can.
We didn't get to talk about beards, which is disappointing. I'll send you a series of emails.
Okay.
I don't believe you lost your phone. You just got bored of my dick pics on WhatsApp. What that was.
Well, I re-downloaded them on my iPad, so not really.
Josh, it's so nice to meet you. Day 5, if you want to go and check it out, is a great show. Rooster Teeth is a great website and channel. This is the Late Night Alternative. Denise, Nigel, stay there. I'll come to you in a bit. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to her records all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.